We're Lancer Radio, streaming live at lancerradio.org. This is Dot Cannon with Over Coffee. Author F.J.R. Chichnell loves Halloween, horror literature, and humor, and she combines horror and humor in her brand new forthcoming young adult book, Confessions of the Very First Zombie Slayer That I Know Of. F.J.R. is in studio now. We've been talking about her book, but you know what? That's not going to be enough, F.J.R. Could you read from it, please?
Certainly. This is after Cassie has accidentally become the very first zombie slayer because she's her friend has just been accidentally killed in a paintball game on a camping trip and became the first zombie, and she had to kill him again. And this is what happens afterwards. I'd like it to be known how deeply, sorely tempted I am to take advantage of the leisure and hindsight available to me to come up with a witty one-liner, something like, "and stay dead, only much cooler," and pretend it's what I said next. It's not like there are a lot of people who know the same things I know about what happened. 100 years from now, who's to say it didn't go down exactly however I decide to say it did? But I'm not going to do that. Let's get this straight right now. I, Cassandra Emily Fremont, the very first zombie slayer that I know of, do solemnly swear that this memoir, written for the benefit of any generations of human beings that may someday, possibly, hopefully follow mine, and in stark contrast to all pre-apocalyptic history books I'm familiar with, will contain nothing but the pure and whole truth of the events it details to the best of my knowledge, no matter how painful, private, embarrassing, or inescapably lame. Sound fair? Good. Unfortunately, with Mark down for the count, again, it means that instead of dry action hero humor, you're going to be treated to this loving description of me majorly losing my mind. I mean, beyond the skull-crushing, brain-mashing kind of mind loss I'd already committed. Enjoy. Cassie? Norman's voice was fragile and lost and only reached the thinnest outer surface of my awareness. I don't think there were any actual words in my first response. It was this garbled screech constricted by the urge to vomit. I scraped the tissue that had once controlled Mark's most basic vital impulses off my fingers, smearing lumpy streaks of blood down my jeans, which didn't make the whole not vomiting thing any easier. Oh dear God. That was all that slipped out of Hector when he found us, but it was more than I had ever heard him say involuntarily. It took him more than twice as many breaths as usual to summon the calm, reasonable tone he always had whenever there was no possible excuse for anyone to be calm or reasonable. What happened, Cass? I knew it was vitally important for this question to be answered accurately and efficiently, so I really tried to process and order my thoughts thoroughly enough to communicate them that time. I didn't quite succeed. My next set of jumbled syllables fit together something like this. Mark, dead, then not, but still was... dead again! Had to! Okay. Hector tried to calm me, retrieving the remnants of the paintball gun in exactly the same hovering way you reassure a cornered animal before throwing a canvas bag over its head. Okay, you had to. I had to! I repeated, trying to bury my face in my hands before I remembered the blood on them. With me unarmed, Norman worked up the nerve to drop his own gun and put an arm around me instead, which seemed to make Hector decide it was safe to retreat toward camp. I formed one more word while he could still hear me, the essential word of both defense and warning. Zombie, I said. Neither of my friends answered me, but I could tell by the moment of complete stillness that they had both heard. I don't blame Hector for reporting me to Kim or Kim for calling the cops. What else were they supposed to do? I don't blame Rory for screaming awful things and chucking briquettes at Norman and me until she had to be restrained. She couldn't hit the broadside of a sandcrawler anyway. I've seen corpses walk, skyscrapers crumble in disrepair, and the busiest freeways lie vacant at 8:30 on a Monday morning, but those 45 minutes it took to get a full emergency response to our nice, secluded campground were the most surreal of my life. Mark was dead. I had killed him. Without the zombie factor, it was the kind of big deal that adults always handled quickly behind drawn curtains, leaving us to squabble over carefully portioned scraps of information. With so many of them and so few of them and so many of us, with so much evidence for so long, it couldn't work that way this time. Kim tried at first to stop people from seeing the body, but by then everyone had gathered too close, ready to snap up the precious details while they could. Once they had seen it, they had all the knowledge anyone had on the matter, and then no one seemed to know what to do. Some stayed, not too close, watching. Others spread as far away from the mess as they could, busying themselves with whatever could be packed up. No one would be staying in the tents or making brownies in the fire pit that night. Liz went off somewhere out of sight to throw up. She wasn't the only one. Norman didn't speak, just kept me wrapped tightly in all there was of his slight frame, simultaneously cradling me and pinning my arms to my sides, ignoring the film of paint, blood, and gray matter covering us both. Hector and Rory settled on either side of us, sentinels, whether for our protection or everyone else's, I couldn't tell. By the time we heard the sirens on the access road, I'd been able to settle on one simple fact. here's where it starts getting kind of cool again. I'm okay, guys. This was the first thing I had said after the Z-word, just as the two dark blue uniforms came into view, when Norman's grip on me tightened in anticipation of being severed. I could hear the leftover constriction in my voice, but it was so steady that Norman actually looked at me like he knew me for the first time since the paintball game. Would it be hopeless optimism, he asked, if I said we'd be laughing about this someday? Probably. The smile felt strange on my face, but it convinced him enough of my lucidity that, after an extra hug of a squeeze, he let me walk unaided into the authorities' waiting arms. My name is Cassie Fremont, I said, loudly enough for all the witnesses to hear, even though at least 90% of them knew that much already. And I'm very, very sorry, but I killed Marcus Cates. Twice. Then I turned around and held my hands out behind me.
You've just heard, and you and I have just heard, actually, author F.J.R. Titchener reading from Confessions of the Very First Zombie Slayer that I know of. And I had to turn the mic off because I thought I was going to laugh out loud. That is great.
Thank you.
If we're not going to be a spoiler, give me, would you, F.J.R., just a little preview of what's going to happen next for Cassie.
Well, she does go to the police station and hears the world fall apart from a secure drunk tank, which is part of why she's one of the last people standing. She breaks out and goes to see what's left and finds her friends holed up in the hotel where most of their parents were, and discovers that one of them is missing. Liz has gone home to New York because she was so distraught, and is now stranded there, of course, because none of the transportation is working. So they come up with an epic road trip across zombie-infested America to go rescue her.
And this is going to be a great book when it comes out.
Thank you.
What was this like? You said you got the first chapter in your mind. We may have to continue when we get back. Mm-hmm. But from getting that first chapter in your mind and hearing Cassie's voice on your way to work, what was the creative process like coming up with the entire book?
This was a very quick one. It took me about 7 months to get from idea to sending it out on submission. I just went straight from beginning to end, pretty much. I spent a lot of time on Google Maps, searching their routes, looking at the scenery that they'd be going through. Most of it was just listening again to her. I'm someone who works with outlines. I can't go without knowing where I'm going. So I knew the vague idea of where it was ending, where the next chapter was going to be. But she has a voice that leads you.
She kind of took you where the story was going to go.
Yeah.
You and I are listening today to F.J.R. Titchener, author of Confessions of the Very First Zombie Slayer That I Know Of, and we're going to be back in just a moment and continue with her story of getting that book shopped around and how it was published. This is Over Coffee, Dot Cannon with you on Lancer Radio at lancerradio.org.